Girl, look.
Don't use God. Don't use God for your own personal life. Because he sees it. And the more you're pursuing after this answer, the more you're burning yourself out. You're burning your energy out. The farther and farther away you are becoming. We're not pursuing the old us, okay? We're going after the things that God has for us. I don't know what y'all going after. That's none of my business. That's none of my business. But we're going after. But we're going after the things that God has for us. Okay. All right. Just making sure.
What is up, y'all? It is your girl, Drea K, and I am back. I don't know why I did that, but I am back with a brand new episode of the Living in Pursuit podcast. Y'all, I don't know about y'all, but the Lord doing something in the lives of his children. I don't know what the heck he doing. He up there, like, literally just, like, shifting stuff. He's switching up the routines. He's switching up the process. He's switching up the worship time. He's switching up how he speak to us. I don't know. Like, am I the only one? Am I the only one experiencing this shift? Am I the only one experiencing this change? Am I the only one forced to seek God like never before? Like, he's not in the place that we last left him. Like, the Lord is moving. He's shifting. He's, like, rearranging the puzzle pieces. He's literally, like, guiding us in different ways. You feel me? So, your girl has just been out here trying to find God. Like, it's been a peekaboo season. Okay, God, where you at? Oh, you ain't over there? Okay, cool. Are you over here? Maybe tomorrow. Maybe later. Y'all, look. I'm not going to play with y'all. But look, I've missed you all. I know I have been gone. Podcast episodes have definitely been sporadic lately. And I know that that could be frustrating for some people. But look, let me just tell y'all, like, I'm in my reason season. Okay? I am in my reason season. And what that means is God is literally revealing the reason for everything that I'm doing and everything that he's doing in my life. Like, he's revealing me to me. He's revealing my heart. He's revealing my mind. He's revealing the things that are not like him. He is pruning me, right? He's literally developing me, and he's showing me the reason behind that. So all of the questions, all of the unanswered prayers, or we think they're unanswered, right? But all of the things that were hidden are rapidly increasing, and they are rapidly being revealed in this hour. So I've been in the presence of God. even when I didn't feel like it, even when the bills were piling up, even when I didn't know how this or that was going to get taken care of, even when I was kind of disappointed at God because things weren't going my way, even when I felt like all hell was breaking loose, even when, that's a lesson right there. That ain't even my message. But I have been depleted, defeated, but I still love the Lord and he still loves me. Regardless of my temper tantrums, regardless of my lack of understanding for what he's doing in my life. We're not meant to understand every single thing that God is doing in our lives. We're not meant to understand. Who can know his ways? Who can know his thoughts? For his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. We're not gonna know. We're not gonna know. So the quicker you stop trying to figure out what it is that God is doing, the quicker you stop trying to figure out why there is so much confusion, the quicker you stop trying to figure out how the promise is gonna manifest in your life. I don't know who that was for, but the quicker you stop and be still before God, the minute you stop pursuing your will and surrender to his will for your life, is the very moment that you will get the revelation that you've been looking for. is when he's able to speak to you and you'll understand him. Is when he'll be able to speak to you and you won't have anything else to say after that. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm in my reason season. So it's been very intentional that I'm seeking the Father's face and that I'm literally fasting and praying. And no matter how much it hurts, no matter what's going on, right? I was literally talking to my friend this morning and we were talking about boasting. We were talking about boasting in our weaknesses. And I literally... this morning, oh, y'all, look, I gotta tell y'all something so unique, I need to stop calling God's miracles and wonders crazy, but to articulate how, you know, I feel or how the situation played out is kind of crazy, right? So I've had the intention of getting up at 5 a.m., right? Or start back getting up at 5 a.m., right? And honestly, your girl been tired. I'm like, Lord, I don't even really fool with you like that right now because I'm kind of mad. So I ain't even going to get up. You know, I'm going to just wait till, you know, it is what it is. And so I made the intention last night to get up at 5 a.m., right? So why out of nowhere, 4:40 a.m. comes around and my eyes open. I'm like, I guess you gonna make sure that I'm gonna get up at 5. I guess you're gonna make sure that I don't change my mind. I guess you're going to make sure that you hold me accountable. Ooh. And to make matters even more ironic and even more crazier was that my 6-year-old, or ooh, I'm saying 6, my baby gonna be 6 in a few weeks. Ooh, I'm calling him 6 already. Anyway, my 5.5-year-old son, he literally rolled over to me at 4:45. Mind you, Lord woke me up at 4:40 and I'm contemplating. I'm like, you know, do I even want to get up? Like, you know, should I go for 5:30, 6 o'clock? Like, what's good? You know, like I'm literally sitting there contemplating, do I really want to get up? You know, and so 4:45 a.m. comes around, literally 5 minutes later, after I started contemplating, my son, who sleeps throughout the night diligently, does not get up for anything, like stays asleep. My son literally woke me up, or not woke me up, but he turned over and whispered in my ear, and he said, Mommy, it's time for you to go do your work. What you mean, son? It's time for you to go do your work. I said, do what work? He said, in the dog's room. If y'all aren't familiar with my secret place, this is my secret place right here. Whenever you see me in front of the red couch, if you watch my TikToks or any of my social media videos and stuff like that, whenever I'm sitting in front of this red couch, this is the dog's room. This is considered my secret place, right? My dogs are literally laying down on each side of me, looking at me crazy as I'm talking to y'all. But this boy says, Mommy, it's time for you to go do your work in the dog's room. And I just started looking up at the sky like, I hear you, Lord. I hear you. But I got 10 more minutes. I got 10 more minutes because, you know, it's kind of, you know, I'm still tired. I was up on TikTok live last night till 12 o'clock talking to these people. I got 10 minutes left. 5 minutes go by. I'm still contemplating. My son rolls over again. Ooh, he roll over again. And he say, Mommy, it's time to go do your work. It's time to go do your work. And I'm like, okay, let me just get up, you know, 10 minutes early. Like, let me just get up, okay? And he says something. He says, Mommy, can I go with you? Now, he don't know what my work is. He don't know that I have already been instructed to get up at 5 a.m. to pray, to get up and worship, to get up and read my word, to get up and seek the Lord's face. He don't know that I be doing that. But for some reason, he knew today. And so I take him and we come into this room and I anoint his head. I anoint my head with oil. I put oil on his hands. I put oil on my hands. Because clearly he's supposed to be up in here with me. Obviously, you know, the Lord is trying to tell me that my son's supposed to be up in here with me praying. So we started praying together and he eventually falls asleep. But when I was done, this was like around like six. I spent like an hour in here. We go back into bed and we go back to sleep. We wake up at like 10 o'clock. And I immediately asked my son, I was like, are you hungry? You want something to eat? Y'all, I kid you not. And this is the first time my son ever said this. This boy said, no, I told my cousin, her name, Naya. I told my cousin that I wasn't going to eat anything for 3 days. Not God telling me yesterday afternoon, not God telling me that I need to fast for the next 3 days. And then my baby sitting up here telling my son, oh, I'm not going to eat anything for the next 3 days. I'm like, what is happening here? I'm like, not my 5-year-old holding me accountable. Not the Lord, like, speaking to me through my child. Not me, but I made him eat some cereal anyway. I took that as a little, hold yourself accountable. I took that as a little, reminder. I took that as a little, you better do what the Lord said. You better be obedient in this season. Ain't that what this season is all about? Ain't that the reason season? Don't it seem like God is just testing us in such a way that is literally making us obedient or holding us accountable? Because he does give us free will. Let's say that. But he's holding us accountable in this hour. There are a lot of things that are promised to us. Right. There are a lot of things that have been promised to us. There are a lot of things that we are about to come into. There's a lot of things that are shifting right now. And God is literally holding us accountable. He will use a 5-year-old. Ugh. He will use a YouTube video. He will use this podcast. Right. He will use any vessel that is available to him. Any vessel that is available to him to get a word to you. To let you know. Oh, and there you go. Some of y'all are having trouble hearing from God. Some of you all are literally looking for God in the same place. Some of you all are used to God speaking to you a certain way. And now that he's not speaking to you in that specific way, you're starting to get confused. You're starting to be like, well, is God silent? Is he mad at me? Am I not doing something right? Should I repent? Like, did I do something to make him mad? This and that. And you're having all of these questions whole time. God is shifting. When he said, I'm making all things new in this season, he meant that. Come on, somebody. He meant that. He meant all things new. Forget the former things. All things are new. And that's how he's separating people. He's separating the true believers from the false believers. He's separating people that proclaim him with their mouth, but their hearts are far from them. That's why the Lord has been working on my heart these last couple of weeks. Literally testing me in areas of anger, emotions, self-control, like literally pruning these fruits on the inside of me, right? And it's been very, very hard. And he's doing the same thing to some of you as well. Because he's literally separating the wheat from the tare. He's separating the believers from the non-believers. He's separating the people that are truly for him. He's separating his sheep from the wolves. Do you not perceive this new thing? A lot of you all have not been able to perceive the new thing because you're used to your routine. Some of y'all haven't even opened up your Bibles because you're used to God speaking to you a certain way. Not realizing that once you open up this word, that's when he's going to speak to you. That's when he's going to reveal the things that has been hidden. That's when you're going to get your revelation and your peace for whatever you're going through. So I challenge you all to seek God. When you seek him, you literally have to look. You gotta, oh, well, he ain't over here today. He ain't over here today. Oh, well, let me go find him. Oh, well, let me go seek him. Oh, well, let me go over here. Let me go over there. Let me try something new. Let me get out of my comfort zone. Let me try something new. Let me seek him in a different way. The word literally says, seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek the Lord. Dang, what is it? Hold on, let me look it up. Oh, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So I hope that brought confirmation or, you know, some type of revelation to some of the things that you have been going through lately. But that, you know, like, that wasn't even my message. Anyway, so like I said, God has been like really working on my heart, right? And he's been like dealing with me in different areas of my heart. He's been teaching me about hardened hearts, right? And when we say hardened hearts, in the Bible, it's literally talking about how certain situations and certain things that we go through in life, our unbelief towards certain things, our situations could make us hard towards God because we're just dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. And sin is one of the causes of a hardened heart. So whatever you've been doing to try to cope with what you're going through, that sin is hardening your heart towards the voice of God. That sin is hardening your heart for the word of God to penetrate your heart. Your heart has become hardened, like it has callus around it, right? And I actually plan to do another 21-day discipline boot camp in this area. I'm not sure if the Lord wants me to do it right now, but it's literally called 21 days of reviving your heart challenge. Reviving your heart challenge, like 21 days of this. And it's literally like lesson after lesson, all about the heart, reviving your heart. Revive, the word revive literally means to restore back to life, to strengthen, to give life to, right? And so that's what I've been feeling like the Lord is doing in my life. He's been disciplining me in the areas of my heart, how I feel towards certain things, how I feel towards him, what I've actually been having, what has actually been hidden in my heart that is not like him. So when you pray stuff like, God, search me, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, when you pray stuff like that, don't be surprised when he starts doing it. Don't be surprised when he starts working on your heart and your emotions and your feelings and just the very things that, you know, has been happening to you in your life. I'm literally looking at the material of this 21-day discipline boot camp. And the first thing it says was God, or the first thing it says is God wants to revive your heart from all things, pain, hurt, frustration, doubt, and any other negative emotion that has caused friction or distance between you and your heavenly Father. We will work to align ourselves back with God's word and purpose for our lives by addressing the issues of our hearts. The issues of our hearts have been exhausted due to the ever-changing circumstances and contamination that the world has put on us. Our hearts have been contaminated, and it is keeping us from having a strong relationship and firm foundation with God. We are going to work this week on realigning ourselves with God, working to forgive him, and also learning why he has caused these things to happen in our life. So that's like literally the beginning of it. And each week we are supposed to, or we were supposed to, you know, just go through certain things to help revive our hearts. One thing God has been telling me was, And he's literally been putting this on my spirit for a long time. This thing about an expiration date. An expiration date. You know, when you come, that's why he's been dealing with me a lot about my heart. Because a lot of stuff that I want to hold on to, a lot of stuff that we have been holding on to is hidden in our hearts. I know that man ain't no good for me. I know this relationship ain't no good for me, but I still want it. Why? Because it's in my heart. Because it's attached to an emotion. It's attached to some type of unfulfillment. And I want it. I still want it. But I'm realizing that's not in God's plan for my life. I'm realizing that this is not what God wants for me. So now he has to do the work of pruning this thing out of my heart. And not only that, he's teaching me how to guard my heart. He's teaching me how to guard my emotions. He's teaching me how to guard my heart from this man, from this hope of one day getting back together, from this idea of the potential that we may have in the future, whenever that may be. So he's teaching me that some things that are in your heart has an expiration date. It's past its season. I'm no longer there. I'm no longer where you left me. I'm no longer where you found me, where you first found me. We're on a different level. We're in a different season. We're moving. We're shifting. We're shaking up the earth. Why are you still there, stuck in your past? Because your heart is attached to it. And now that an expiration date has come, God needs to revive your heart. He needs to heal you from that thing. And you're going to be mad about it. You're going to be confused. You're going to be upset about it. Well, why I got to let this go? Why I got to let these people go? Why I got to let this sin go? And this sin has been in my life all my life. I've been going to this thing every time I'm lonely. I've been going to this thing every time I feel some type of way. I've been going to this thing trying to cope with life. Now you're telling me that I can't go to the next level unless I get this thing out of my heart. Because isn't that what sin is? You're going to something that you love to do, that your flesh loves to do, but your spirit hates it. Y'all are in conflict with one another. You are in conflict with your Heavenly Father. You thinking that it's not really that serious, but really it's creating hostility and enmity between you and your Father. He been telling you to stop doing it. He been telling you to get out that relationship. He been telling you to stop doing something. But because it's hidden in your heart, because you're unaware of the fact that you love it, you're continuing to live in rebellion, not obeying the word of God, not obeying what he is telling you to do, because it's still in your heart, basically. So now an expiration date has come upon us. And the expiration date is literally what you've been carrying, going to, running from, is causing your delay. We're just going to go ahead and get into it. I know you think that God overlooked that sin. I know you think that God forgot. I know you'd like to think that God will anoint you anyway. That God will propel you anyway. That God will cause you to obtain and win favor anyway. I know you'd like to think that God will keep allowing you to do that thing, but he's actually been telling you for years that he wants to free you from it. But you've been ignoring him because you love it. You love the feeling it gives you. You love the feeling they give you. You love the escape. Ooh, that was a moment right there. One reason I know how I was not supposed to be in that relationship anymore was because I loved the escape. I could go to this person, be with this person, and escape from the calling on my life whenever things got heavy, whenever the anointing, the weight of God just got heavy. I could just go to this unbeliever. I could just go to this sinner. And escape from my responsibility, escape or try to fool myself into thinking that I can escape the calling of my life, the calling on my life. And I realized something. I'm being a prodigal out here. I'm being a whole prodigal child out here. When God is faithfully calling me in, he's faithfully drawing me to him. He's faithfully calling me in the wilderness. He's faithfully calling me to his side because he wants to spend time with me. He wants to revive my heart. So he's been telling me an expiration date has come upon you. The things that you used to do no longer is relevant for your new life, for the new creation in Christ. That old stuff can't go with you in the new. I am making all things new. Do you not perceive it? All things, not some things. I was struggling with my music the other day. I was sitting up here like I was into the music. I was just always like, mind you, I wrote songs in a season of brokenness, thinking that God was gonna love me anyway. To the fact where when he does give me an opportunity to do music again, I can take them songs with me. Oh, I'm getting a revelation already. I'm sorry. I'm thinking that I can take that brokenness, oh, pieces of my brokenness with me into a new season. Not me thinking and holding on to these songs because they're just so good and they're just so creative. Not me thinking that God is going to take something old and repurpose it and replenish it and turn it into something new. Not me leaning onto my own understanding. Not God showing me who I really am, who I truly am now. Not God revealing to me that I'm trying to hold on to my past. Not even just the relationship, not even just the habits, not even just the behaviors. But the things that I love, the things that I attached myself to in a previous season, God said, you can't take none of that with you. None of that. Now that I've worked on this relationship, now that I've worked on your heart to let this relationship go, now that I've worked on your heart to let these toxic mindsets and these behaviors go, let me work on the other things that you forgot about, the other things that you weren't even aware of that you're still holding on to. Yeah, you can't take them songs with you, sis. Not me realizing that when he said all things, he meant everything that was attached to my brokenness. Everything that was attached to previous seasons of my life. Everything, everyone that was attached. Everything that I birthed in brokenness. He said, an expiration day has come upon you. You can't keep escaping from life, slipping away from your calling and going into the arms of Satan. Everything you run to that is of this world is Satan's property. And it's come a time for you to give it an expiration date. You keep neglecting your priesthood for peasanthood. God is calling you all to be priests. He's calling us to be his royal priesthood. And we're still holding on to peasanthood. We're still holding on to scraps. What we think is going to fill us up. What we think is going to be enough. What we think is going to satisfy our needs. We're being peasants out here. When he's calling us to be priests. Those who preach the word, those who literally live this life of royalty according to the word of God, according to who our Father is. We out here being peasants. We keep devaluing ourselves. We keep ignoring God's best for our lives. We aren't fully able to receive what God has for us because we won't put an expiration date on some things. So this thing about a prodigal, right? So the definition is a person who leaves home and behaves recklessly, but later makes a repentant return. Repentant return. So some of you all, God is calling you to put an expiration date on some things. I don't know who this is for. Like God is calling you out. Like this is your charge to come out of whatever it is that you're in. Whatever sin, whatever addiction, whatever it is that you're in, he's calling you. He's giving you an opportunity to put an expiration date on it. Man, I'm tired of thinking so lowly of myself. Put an expiration date on it. By faith, declare that you will no longer be in this season ever again in your life. A season of lack, a season of dishonor, a season of disobedience. Declare that you will no longer be broke anymore. Declare that this is your last time doing this to your body. This is the last time that you step out of alignment with God. Put a date on it. Put a expiration date on your loneliness. This is the last year. This is the last time I'm gonna ever feel this way. This is the last time that I'm ever going to ... You fill in the blanks. But a prodigal is like literally somebody who leaves the presence of God, who leaves provision, who leaves a place of provision, who leaves a place of prosperity to go into the world thinking that they know what's best for themselves and live recklessly, behave recklessly. But then they realize, like the prodigal son in Luke 15, then he realized, dang, what I thought was out here for me, what I thought was going to be good, what I thought was going to replenish me, what I thought was going to fill me up and build me up, what I thought was going to be success, what I thought was going to be the thing, it ain't really the thing. How many times have you all gone outside of God's parameters, gone outside of God's alignment, gotten out of his alignment to pursue something that ended up not being the thing? How many times have you gotten into the relationship thinking that this relationship was going to be the best thing ever in life, thinking that this relationship, you were going to marry this person, y'all was going to have kids, y'all was going to have the life that you've always desired and dreamed of, and come to find out it was never even that. It was never even supposed to be that. So you're behaving recklessly. You keep getting out of alignment with God. You keep looking for stuff, looking for things in people, in places, in things that were never meant to satisfy you. But then he realizes, the prodigal son realizes, you know what? I had it good where I was. I'm just finna go back. I'm just finna go back to my father's house. I'm finna go back to God. I don't really like my I don't know who this is for. I don't really like my circumstances at the physical house. I don't really like the attitudes and everything that I receive at that place of provision. I don't really favor my current circumstances. I don't really like the position or the circumstances or the situations that I'm in right now, but it is also a place of provision. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about food. I don't have to worry about rent. I don't have to worry about mortgage. I don't have to worry about this while I'm at this place. The safe haven, the place where God has me. Every time I tried to move outside of this parameter, every time I tried to move outside of this safe haven, I destructed myself. I destructed my finances. I destructed my mind. I destructed my peace. I built something that I was never supposed to sustain. Oh, I built something that I was never able to sustain. And so when you realize that, and you realize that the place where you were, which was God's presence, the place where you were, You realize that this is where I should have been all along. This is the place where I should have stayed. Oh, this is the place where I should have been more patient. This is the place where I should be waiting on God for my next move instead of trying to move outside of time. Instead of trying to move myself, make my own plans, make my own way. God said, I'm gonna need y'all to put an expiration date on your plans. I need you to put an expiration date on your plans right now. Today is the last day I step outside of your timing. Today is the last day I trust myself more than I trust you. Today is the last day that I trust in my plan over God's plan. I know it's hard. I know it's hard following God. I know it's hard, like, being a believer. I know it's hard biting your tongue. I know it's hard to go through the process of pruning these fruits. I know it's hard being purged and pruned and purified. I know it's hard being in this fire right now. I know it's hard, but this is the very place that I need to be. And no matter how much I try to skip this process, God gonna make sure I get purified. Oh, he gonna make sure I come out like pure gold. He gonna make sure that I don't skip any of the developmental process. He's gonna make sure that when I get out of this process and when I go through this full process, he's gonna make sure that whatever he gives me in the next season, I'm gonna be able to sustain it. I'm gonna be able to sustain the finances. I'm gonna be able to sustain the business. I'm gonna be able to sustain the relationship that my Father gives to me, not the things that I create out of my own hands. So he said, put an expiration date on your plans. Put an expiration date on your plans. Put an expiration date on the fact that you think you know more than God. Put an expiration date on the fact that you think you know what's best for your life. And repent, like the prodigal son, and repent. It's a repentant return. That means when you return, you repent and you don't move back. And you don't go back outside of those parameters. That means when you come back home to the presence of God, that means when you come back, you're now living a repentant lifestyle. You're now living in a way where you don't allow yourself to get outside of time anymore. You're disciplined enough to not get outside of time. You become changed and moved by the discipline that your Father gives you. One thing about it, he gonna let you get out there and make a fool of yourself, only for you to come back with a repentant heart. Like, you know what, Lord, you did know what's best. I'm sorry. Like, I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry that I moved outside of your time. I'm so sorry, Lord, that I didn't stay in the place of provision. Look at me out here struggling, trying to pay my bills, because I thought that this job was gonna sustain me. I thought that this relationship, I thought that the person that I was in a relationship with was going to help me carry these loads. I thought that they were going to help me carry these burdens in life. I trusted them too much. I put them above you. Who is this for? I just feel like I feel like somebody just threw something at the TV. I feel like somebody edges are snatched. I feel like somebody is just screaming at me. I don't know. Like, I feel like Let's understand that this is a window of opportunity. God giving us the opportunity to put an expiration date on some things. Let's understand that this is a window of opportunity. And it is crucial. It is crucial to the next level. It is crucial for the next thing that he is going to allow us to obtain and sustain. Your obedience, to put it down, leave it alone, and don't pick it back up is the key element for what God will release to you in this hour. I feel like some of us, I feel like you know how when you're in an interview with somebody, a job or something like that, and you done lied on your resume, you really don't know how to do this according to, you know, what they said they needed according to the expectations. Like, you've been literally out here lying, just trying to get the job. But then when you get the job, they ask you to do the very thing that you said you knew how to do, and now you looking crazy. It's like, now you got to prove yourself. It's like, now you got to actually, you know, come through with the come through. I feel like that's what God doing with us right now, believers. I feel like that's what he's doing with us believers right now. You say you love me. Are you going to love me when all hell is breaking loose? Or are you going to flee? Are you going to get from around me? Are you going to forget about me when things get hard? I feel like a lot of y'all are a lot of us are going through a Job season where we've lost some things. We are now in a place where we strictly have to depend on God for everything, every single thing. Like, we're literally in a place where we cannot go get a job ourselves. We cannot make provision for ourselves. We cannot do the very single thing that we know how to do in previous seasons. God has made it very clear that right now, in this time right now that we're in, I'm going to need y'all to depend on me wholeheartedly. Your faith is being tested. Just like Job. Just like Job. But what did Job do? He didn't give up. He didn't curse God like everybody told him to. He didn't give in like the devil wanted him to. Let's understand this. The fact that God gave permission to Satan to come and fool with Job like that. Like, it was a setup for Job's elevation. It was a setup for his elevation. It was a testing. The Bible literally describes Job as an upright man. He loved the Lord. He loved God. But now, like every relationship, like all of our relationships that we get in, the relationship gets tested. The relationship gets tested. And how many times have we been in a relationship with somebody where the relationship got tested and we just wanted to bounce? You know what? It's too hard. I'm just finna go. Well, you know what? You doing too much. I don't want to stay. I don't want to stick around. Cut off game strong. God is literally saying to us, are y'all gonna do that to me? Your heavenly Father. You gonna cut me off when things get hard? Are you just going to go and serve other gods? Are you just going to go and pick up these crystals and put your faith and your trust in that? Are you just going to abandon the faith altogether to go to another god, to go to another source? Just because things are going to get hard in your life. But every time that it does get hard, are you going to stick around and endure to see what the end is going to be? Or are you going to pick up and leave and try to go outside of God's alignment, to go outside of his provision? Are you just going to just say, you know what, forget God. I'm finna do my own thing. I'm finna put my own trust. I'm finna put my trust in myself. I want y'all to understand, like, the hell that you're going through right now, you're most likely going to go through it again and worse. Some of you all have literally lost people during the pandemic. You've lost people left and right. You do understand that this is life. You're going to lose people again at some point of your life. But if every time you lose somebody and you get mad at God, what is that saying about you in the relationship? What is that saying about you in the relationship? God say, I'm going to need you to put an expiration date on that cycle. I'm going to need you to put an expiration date on that pattern. Every time something gets hard, you want to leave. You want to flee. You want to go and run and do your own thing. He said, I'm going to need you to put an expiration date on that today. And stick around. Because he is a good father, whether you want to admit it or not right now. He is a good father. You could be out on the street. You could be begging for money. You could be unable to pay your bills. You could be out here with lack, with no provision. You could just be out here naked with nothing. You could be like the homeless people on the street that you are blessed enough with the provision. You could be like them on the street where they have to watch people in their cars drive by and not give them any type of money, not give them any type of provision. You could be like them. You could be feeling the way that they feeling when the holidays come around, begging for money, watching cars go by, millions and thousands of cars go by each and every day, and nobody with a generous heart. is able to give. You could be like them. And yet we're complaining. And we got money in our pocket. Some of us have money in our pocket. Some of us have provision. Some of us have the business. Some of us have the idea. And we still being stingy. One thing that God had revealed to me in my heart was the fact that a lot of people, their hearts are hard in the areas of money. So every time they don't make a certain amount, they get mad at God. Every time they don't receive a certain amount, they get mad at God. Every time something don't happen, they get mad at God. Every time God tests them, tests their faith and tell them to give, they come up with some type of excuse. My bills due. I gotta put gas in my car. I ain't got time to help. I don't have time to sew. I don't have time to be obedient. So I'ma just come up with some type of excuse so that I don't have to do it. God been dealing with me with that. And I know he's been dealing with that, with y'all with that too. So God saying, I need y'all to put an expiration date on some of these issues of your heart. I'm going to need you to put an expiration date on that. I'm going to need you to renew this covenant. Yeah, that's what that is. So in the 21-day reviving your heart, I had put in here because God was, you know, teaching me some things about this. When before the Israelites were to go into the promised land, y'all know we've been talking a lot about the Israelites and possessing the land, taking over the promised land and things like that. So before they entered into the land, before they could enter into the land, God told Moses to renew the covenant, to make them renew the covenant that he had already promised them, to have them repent for their sins, to have them to repent for everything that they did in Egypt, in the wilderness, to have them repent for everything that they did so that they can renew their commitment with God. Literally in Deuteronomy chapter 29, I believe chapter 29, it literally says that the Israelites were to renew the covenant. Like, think of the word renew. New. To make a new commitment that I will not go back to this thing. I will not go back to this relationship. I will not go back to my old self or my old nature. When I get into this promised land, when I obtain the favor, when I get the influence, when I get the marriage. I'm making a covenant with you, Lord. I'm renewing a covenant with you. I'm making a new commitment with you based off of the things that you are currently teaching me. The things that you are currently showing me. I'm making a new covenant with you. I'm making a new commitment with you so that I don't continue to harbor these things in my heart. This new commitment is literally me putting everything out on the table. Everything that you revealed to me, everything that you done disciplined me for, I'm putting that out on the table. And I'm literally making the decision to not do this no more with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. With the power of the Holy Ghost. Like, I'm not going to rely on myself anymore. In this new contract, in this new commitment, I'm not going to rely on myself anymore because I done seen where that got me. I've seen where that has gotten me. I've seen the fruit of that. And I'm tired of producing rotten fruit. I'm tired of bearing fruit that does not give God glory. I'm tired of bearing bad fruit. I'm ready to produce good fruit. I'm ready to see a harvest. I'm ready to see what God has for me in this promised land. So whatever, Lord, that I need to put an expiration date on, whatever, Lord, it is that I need to stop, whatever, Lord, it is that I need to reject, whatever it is I need to discipline myself in, whatever obedience I need to do, I got to do that. And I have to make a commitment to doing that. I can't just say it out of my mouth. I cannot just keep saying things out of my mouth. And then when I get tested for the very thing that I say out my mouth, then I want to get mad at God because I'm being tested. I'm thinking that people are just coming for me. When really I'm being tested on the word that I said, the word that came out of my mouth, I'm being tested on that. You love me? All right, deal with this. How I taught you how to deal with it. Oh, these people are persecuting you? Deal with it. How I taught you how to deal with it. Oh, you angry at your neighbor? Do what I told you to do when situations like this occur. Do what I already taught you. It's a testing. It's a testing on the everything that has came out your mouth in these last couple of years. God, in this season right now, he's testing you to see if you are really his. To see if you are really about this life. Don't say you a believer, but then you ain't believing. Don't say that you love God, but don't demonstrate it. Not even to him, but to yourself. Don't say you love God and you are in a position where you don't even love yourself. There are some things in your heart that you need to put an expiration date on. Ooh, there are some things in your heart that you have yet to give to God. Don't say that God is your everything when you're out here talking to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, just trying to get some attention and affection from them. It's so funny. All of these people, all of these girls, all of these men that put Bible verses, that put scriptures in their bio, but you go on their page and you don't see no fruit of that. God is separating people. He is opening up our eyes. The more we spend time with him, he's opening up our eyes to see stuff like that. Well, you know, this person say that they know God and they believe in God, but their actions don't even show approve. The words of their mouth don't even show approve. Nothing about you says that you know God the way you say you do. And that's why we're testing. That's why we're getting tested right now. God is checking the fruit. He's checking the fruit. What fruit have you produced that deserves that will get a harvest? You praying for the harvest, you're praying for this, you're praying that, but what fruits have you developed in this time? Do you have patience? Do you have love? Do you have forbearance? Do you have kindness? Do you have gentleness? According to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, do you have self-control? Because, Andrea, every time somebody say something negative under your TikTok comments, you ready to say something back. Every time somebody say something to you, you ready to buck. You ready to knuck if you buck. You ready to... You had said what? What had was said? You looking for a harvest when you ain't even produced no fruit. He's separating them. He's separating us from them. He's separating. Literally, he told me what that was. He told me, let me look it up. January, June 13, 2022 at 12:50 a.m. The Lord woke me up and he literally said, divide and conquer. The great divide. What's happening right now is the great divide. Let that be your confirmation to what's happening in your life right now. Let this whole podcast episode be a confirmation to what's happening in your life. God is testing you to see if you really love him the way you say you do. He's really testing you to see if you've produced some fruit. Divide and conquer, divide and conquer. The great divide is happening. He's separating, he's dividing the truth from the lies. It's the awakening of truth. He's dividing the weak from the strong, the real from the fake, the obedient from the disobedient. The alive from the dead. God is separating us from the things that are not like him. I literally did a video that is still going viral on TikTok. I did it like maybe like 2-3 weeks ago. It's still going viral. People are doing all kind of what's it called? Like duets and stuff. People still doing duets to that. And I'm like, what are you doing, Lord? I literally did a message on TikTok that was saying how God does not want us to be in these unequally yoked relationships anymore. Some people are literally married in an unequally yoked relationship, unable to see any fruit. You've literally been in this desolate land. Nothing you've done has gotten you anywhere. You've literally been in this place of just lack and desolation. And you're wondering, well, why have I not been able to elevate? Why have I not been able to exceed? Why have I not been able to be successful? Because you're yoked to an unbeliever. Because you're yoked to a narcissist. Because you're yoked to somebody that was never meant to help you carry the load. You are yoked to somebody that does not know God the way that you know God. You are yoked to somebody who does not believe in you or your gifts or the power within you. You are yoked to people who do not see you the way that God sees you. And that's what's causing your delay. That's what's causing your hindrance. And until you get up out these relationships until you stop putting these relationships on an idol, until you stop idolizing these relationships and these friendships with people, you're going to stay stuck. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12. This is something that God woke me up in the middle of the night and told me as well. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to destruction. Or in the other version, it leads to death. You going to stay stuck with this person because you think it's right? You think just because y'all done had kids together, y'all need to be together? You think just because they apologize for putting their hands on you, that mean that you supposed to stay with them? That mean just because they apologize for cheating on you the 20th time, that means that it's all right for you to stay with them? Just because they don't get up in the morning and read their word, you think just because they out here living in sin, you think that just because they say a prayer every night, you think just because they sow a little seed every now and then, you think just because they put it on you right, you think just because the sex is good that you should stay in this unequally yoked relationship? There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to destruction. In the end, it leads to death. What are the wages of sin? What are the wages of sin? Death. Y'all are in relationships, y'all are in friendships that are planning your funeral. Oh, where is this coming from? Where is this anointing coming from? Where is that coming from? You're in relationships and friendships and situations where they are planning your funeral. The death of your discernment. The death of your gifts. The death of your anointing. The death of your promise, the death of your discernment, the death, the destruction of your mind, the destruction of your heart, the destruction of your freedom. If you got to be broke for a little while, you better learn how to depend on God without that relationship. It's better than being beaten on. It's better than being cheated on. It's better to actually see all that God has for you than to be stuck somewhere, stuck in a mindset, stuck in a relationship, stuck in a job, stuck in something that was never ordained for you to be in. It's rather to not have anything and start over with God than to be stuck in this situation, in this mindset, with this person. And not have God. And to have turned your back on him. to completely live in rebellion and think that's okay. And this goes back to the sin thing. This goes back to the thing that, yeah, we're flowing today. Let's just say that we're flowing today. This ain't in my notes. But that sin that you keep going back to, like you're in direct rebellion. We've abused grace. We done abused grace too far. We done took it too far. Well, God's still gonna love me if I'm still attracted to the opposite sex. Well, God is still going to do this, and God is still going to do that in my life if I'm still out here sinning, if I'm still out here fornicating, if I'm still out here masturbating, if I'm still out here doing all of this other sin, living in the world. God is still going to perform the miracles and things and all of this such. God's still gonna do it. He's still going to do it. We have fooled ourselves into thinking that we can hide our sins. We have fooled ourselves into thinking. Whew, I need to calm down. We have fooled ourselves into thinking that we can love God and love our sin. But God is saying, if you're really a believer, if you're really going to follow me, you're going to stay in this purification process. Because when I purify you, you ain't even going to like the opposite sex no more. When you're done being purified, you're not even going to be greedy anymore. You're not even going to want what your flesh wants. You're not even going to like what your flesh likes. If you stay in this place of provision where I'm purifying you, if you can only endure. If you can only endure this process that I'm taking you through, you ain't even going to like that stuff no more. That stuff is going to be ew. That stuff going to turn you off. Them people are going to turn you off. If you just stay in this purification process, if you just endure the process. Somebody say on TikTok, it takes time. What takes time? Let's talk about it. What takes time? Because if you say you love God and you come into repentance and you're really transformed and renewed, it don't take you years to get rid of something. If you really are transformed, if you have really come into repentance, if you really love God, it don't take you years to do something. It don't take you years to come out of it. That's why he's been refining it and reviving our hearts in this season. Because he got to get that up out of us for good now. It's no more going back and forth. I'm not giving y'all a chance to go back and forth in the relationship. Y'all either going to get this anointing. Y'all going to either go through this purification process. Y'all are either going to serve me or continue to serve the gods that y'all feel that y'all need. Ain't no more second chances. Ain't no more like I really feel God's anger on that. I really feel God's anger on that. The reason it's taking you so long to come out of sin is because you love it. And now God has to deal with your heart. He has to prune that out of your heart. Once, and look, and this is the thing, people think that people really think that if I just discipline myself enough to stop fornicating, to stop masturbating, to stop doing this, if I just discipline myself enough, I'm just going to eventually stop wanting it. We have fooled ourselves into thinking that discipline is the only answer. We have fooled ourselves into thinking that our works is going to take us out of sin. At this point, it's already in your heart. It's in your heart. But once it come out your heart, you ain't gonna want to do it no more. Once God prunes you and purifies you, once he gets that thing up out of your heart, then you will be transformed. then it will be easier for you to not be tempted in that area no more. Then it will be easy for you to turn that person down. Then it will be easier for you to stop going to the stores and buying this thing. Then it will be easier. It'll be easier for you to dodge temptation. Once you grow to love God, once you grow to love him, that's an everyday process. It's not in my notes. This is not in my notes. So we're gonna have to put an expiration date on the fact that we think that it's gonna take all of this time to stop sinning, when really all I gotta do is allow God to prune this thing out of my heart. Because now that I've recognized that I actually love to sin, I love to do this thing, now that I done recognized that, I can give it to God. Because at first I was fooling myself. At first I was thinking, I was lying to myself that, oh, it's just my flesh. Oh, it's just, you know, that, you know, I'm just ovulating. Oh, well, you know, I'm just lonely. Oh, well, you know, I'm just missing it. I haven't had it in a while. Oh, my God. Now that you done stopped fooling yourself into thinking that that's the reason, after you done stopped using that excuse, now you can begin the process of allowing God to purify your heart. Because your heart has become hard in that area. Your heart has become hard against your sin. And it's not only becoming hard, but it's taking you away from God. Constantly taking you away from God. You're in worship time thinking about the last time you had sex. You're in worship time with these images, these sexual images from the night before. You done watched something two nights ago, and now you're in worship time coming before your Father with these images in your mind. Like, we're literally working overtime. Like, we're literally putting in so much of this flesh work to get something out of our heart. And that's not our job. That's God's job. So the longer you use these excuses, well, you know, I love him. Well, you know, we do have a child together. Well, you know, we have been together for a long time. Maybe this is who God has for me. Baby girl, if you're going to settle for that instead of waiting on the man that God has for you, then you deserve that. You deserve what you get. You deserve what you're getting. Sorry. Anyway, I don't know who that was for. But it's time to put an expiration on that and your fears. It's time to put an expiration date on your fears. It's time to let go of what could happen, what should happen, what has the potential to ruin, what could ruin me, what someone has the potential to say or do to expose my other weaknesses that don't nobody know about. It's time to put an expiration date on that, on condemnation, on your guilt, on your shame. It's time to put an expiration date on the fact that you keep telling yourself that you can't do it when God has already empowered you to do it. It's time to put an expiration date on your fear of judgment of other people or receiving judgment from other people. Well, if I do this, then, you know, people are going to make fun of me, or people aren't going to understand, or, you know, people are going to persecute me and reject me. Ain't that what they did to Jesus? He wasn't worried about a thing. He wasn't worried about that. He was not worried about that. He had a mission to accomplish. He knew the assignment. He had an execution plan. He had a plan of action. He was not worried about who was going to talk about him, who was going to persecute him, because he already knew that it was coming. He already knew it was coming. He expected it to happen. And some of y'all are literally second guessing yourselves on doing the thing that God told you to do because you're so worried about what other people got to say about it. God say it's time to put an expiration date on that as well. Yeah. Because the devil has been tormenting you with this. Like, stirring up guilt and shame, and God wants to free you from it. What happened to you 2 years ago? What happened to you 5 years ago? What happened to you 10 years ago? I'm gonna need you to let that go. because you will never be able to control the outcome of it. A lot of our anxiety stems from a lack of control. Baby girl, you're not going to be able to control what people say about you. Baby boy, you're not going to be able to control what people try to use against you when you're walking in favor, when you're walking in the things of God, when you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're not going to be able to control what other people have to say about that. So get over it. Let's put an expiration date on it, because purpose is calling. Destiny is calling. Your promise awaits. It's time to pursue. Last but not least, I swear I'm almost done. I hope. Well, probably. I don't know. You know how these things go. Last but not least, it's time to put an expiration date on your comfortability. God said you're too comfortable. That's why it's hard for you to fast. All of your favorite restaurants are on speed dial. All of your favorite restaurants are like saved on your waiter app, your DoorDash app. Like, you're too comfortable. Like you're trying to be abstinent. You're trying to abstain from sex. You're trying to live a life of purity, but you have not put no barriers in place for your exes. Oh, you have not disciplined yourself in this area. You have not put any boundaries in place for these people to stop messing with you and coming to you about this. You have not. You're too comfortable. You're too comfortable. You're trying to be pure. You're trying to be sober. You're trying to stay sober. And yet there's a liquor store and the weed man. There's a liquor store on every corner and the weed man is stealing your phone. You're too comfortable. Like some of the things that God is telling us to leave alone, like we still see it as options. We still see it as a backup plan. That's why we have not gotten rid of it yet. We still see it as a second option. Well, if this don't go right, well, you know, I'm a believe in God for this job, but you know, if they deny me and you know they reject me, I'm gonna just go call up my weed man. But if they do give me the job, I'm not gonna call my weed man. Like, you sitting up here playing with fire, sir. You're playing with fire, sir. Ooh, like you too comfortable because your obedience has now become conditional. Like you're choosing to serve God when it's comfortable for you. And you're also choosing to dip and dab in sin when it's comfortable for you. Like, you're literally considering compromising based on the conditions of your heart. Based on the conditions of your circumstances. Oh, you playing with fire. I'm going to just say that. You're playing with fire. Why do we feel like God don't get angry at stuff? Why do we feel like God is just like this fairy tale, mythical creature in the earth or in the sky? And he just gives us grace all day, every day, which he does. But for some of us, we think that grace is all he's going to give us. Have you not read the Bible?
We're not living under the old covenant anymore.
Did you see what he did to them, though? Do you see what he's capable of? Do you see the consequences that he laid out for them in Deuteronomy 28? This is what's going to happen if you don't turn. This is what's going to happen if you don't obey me. This is what's going to happen if you don't come out of sin. This is what's going to happen if you don't come out of that relationship. Like, why do we feel like God is like this mythical creature? Like, he's never going to discipline us. Like, he's never going to show his anger. Like we are just unable, our sinful people. A sinful people, like, we are just incapable of arousing God's anger. What he did to the Israelites? Oh, y'all complaining? I done brought you out of slavery. I done brought you out of Egypt, and y'all complaining? Y'all, I know y'all ain't complaining out here. Bet. 40 years you will spend in the wilderness. Did that not happen in the Bible? Did that not happen?
are we just, we're under the New Testament. We're under the New Covenant. That's not going to happen ever again.
What? So you're basically saying because you're under the new covenant that you don't have any consequences for your actions. Anyway, it's time to put an expiration date on some things. Based off the rhythm of this podcast episode, I believe this is very prophetic. Very. I believe that some instructions were given. I believe that this is a command. I believe that if you don't heed to this word, consequences are going to be made. Now, does Andrea know what the consequences are? No. Sure don't. But I know based off of my own experiences in life, there are consequences for disobedience. When was the last time you sped through a red light and didn't get a ticket? When was the last time you cheated on somebody and didn't get caught? What was the last time you tried to throw your hands and judge somebody and that judgment didn't come right back on you? Ooh, we be trying to do stuff and hide our hands. And God see everything that we do, everything, every single thing that we do. He sees it all. It's time to put an expiration date on the things that you fool yourself with. Like just stop fooling yourself out here. Stop fooling yourself out here. Stop lying to yourself to make you comfortable in your sin. Stop making these excuses. Anyway, I'm done. I'm putting an expiration date on this podcast episode because right now I need to go eat. She's very hungry. It's a lot going on right now. I need to go pray. I need to go worship. Like, I need to go spend time with my Heavenly Father. You know what I'm saying? Like some of y'all need to do the same thing. Some of y'all need to put an expiration date on your anger towards God. Because it really ain't His fault. It really ain't His fault. Some of y'all need to put an expiration date on your bitterness and your resentment. And get into the presence of God so that He can begin to revive your heart. Restore it back to life. Refresh you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Some of y'all just need to, you know, y'all need a spiritual bath. You feel me? And so that's it. If you want to sow into this ministry, you can go to my website, livinginpursuit.org. I just put a new donate button on there because a lot of y'all be asking like for my Cash App and my PayPal and all of that. So I just put it on my website, livinginpursuit.org. Click the donate button. Sow a seed. You feel me? It ain't for me. It's for the ministry, period. Like, she needs to keep going. She needs to keep this thing going. I might want to need to get a new mic. I might want to need to get, you know, a new computer. I might need to, you know, need to get something else, you know, to make this ministry run smoothly, go accordingly, you know, you know, period. So y'all do that. And I'm going to talk to y'all in my next episode. Y'all need to work on these expiration dates. Like, rewind this podcast if you have to. Rewind this podcast episode if you have to. A couple of times. It's only Tuesday. It's only Tuesday. I ain't say Tuesday. I said Tuesday. That is all that I have for you guys today. Make sure you all check out my YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to the Living in Pursuit podcast. Leave a review. Leave a rating. Make sure you check out my TikTok as well. It's a whole lot of stuff going on over there if you're not on social media. So, yeah, I'm gonna talk to y'all in my next episode. Bye.